All right. We're going to look to a lot of familiar scriptures tonight. Title of this message is A Simpler Time. So you can open up the Proverbs. Proverbs, we'll look to chapter 3. When we were first saved, it was a simpler time, was it not? For me, it began back on April 19th, 1987. When I asked Jesus into my heart, there was a cleaning out that took place. I can tell you this, I never felt so clean in my life when that happened that day. At that time, I didn't know what it was, but I felt clean. And come on, you know what I'm talking about. Have you not experienced that when you got born again, how you felt? I was a new creation that day. Now, I still had some bad habits, though. God didn't care about the bad habits. He was more concerned with my salvation. I got saved and still had those bad habits. But as God took hold of me because I reached out to Him, those habits are gone. Those habits are gone. And it didn't take very long. I didn't work in trying to get them. He did it. He did it for me. Because see, just like Nick said, when I got saved that day, I got saved to the bone. And it doesn't get any deeper. It doesn't get any deeper when you start to think about it, when we get saved like that. And it was a simpler time because all I wanted to do at that time was to please Him and obey Him. That was all I concentrated on. I didn't concentrate on anything else at that time. It just seemed like that's what it was. It was just basically so simple. Him. See, I wanted that closer relationship. See, I needed Him to lead me in a different direction than I had been going. Because the direction I was going was not a good way. So He redid things. So you're there in Proverbs chapter 3. Now, like I told you before, when I first got saved, all I read was the Amplified Classic Edition. That's what I started with. So I'm going to read you these scriptures out of the Amplified Classic. Proverbs 3, 5, 6, and 7. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge Him, and He will direct and make straight and plain your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Reverently fear and worship the Lord, and turn entirely away from evil. These are my base scriptures when I was a babe in Christ. When I first got saved, I was encouraged to grab a hold of some scriptures and use them to build and base my faith on. Well, let me tell you, that was some good advice. So when you look again at verse 5, it says, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. All your heart and mind. Lean on, trust, be confident. You see what that did for me? A simple statement with which to establish my faith in the Lord. Now, when the Jail Ministry 4, okay, the Jail Ministry 4, that would be Dean, his father, Anthony, and Bob, right? The four musketeers. And they faithfully go down to the jail and minister to those men down there. Now, they give these men the word But they give them a scripture and establish them on it after they get them saved. I must state that, though. They do get them saved first, but then they give them a scripture. And may I say it? You can look there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Now, Matt, because that's what these men are going, they're down there, they're incarcerated. They can't. They think there's no hope sometimes. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is what they tell those men down there. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. They give them the word, and the word gives these inmates hope. Gives them hope. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 3. Right. I got that right. Yeah. Okay. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. They give these men a living hope. And that living hope is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. They give these men a living hope. They get them to know that they are a new creation. They get them saved. They get them cleaned. They get them cleaned out. And when they get out, if they end up in a good church, a word church, I should say, they have a chance. But see, when they go out, society doesn't give them a chance. Sorry to say that, but no, they can't believe that they're a new creation. They think they're the same old, a lot of them, when they look at them. They say, you haven't changed. Right there. So, the only place they get a hope is through Christ. Amen. And that's what these four guys get honored to do. Amen. So, we need to keep them in prayer. Because they get on there not knowing what they're going to find. Who they're going to run into. They need prayed up and prayed for so they can go in there and deliver what the Holy Spirit has for these men. Okay, back when we were first saved, things, like I said, were much simpler. But as we matured in the Lord, the simpler times seem to have left. That is not true at all. Nope. They're the same. They're still the simple times. It's we who have become less diligent in our praying and reading of the Word. Come on, be honest. It's because of the world we live in. See, the devil wants to keep us from communicating with God the Father. And he does that by distractions. See, it is important that we are aware of this and that we diligently seek Him. It has great rewards. That's what His Word says. Does it not? God rewards those who diligently seek Him. And God's not a liar. Distractions will bring on cares. They'll bring on anxieties. And they will bring on worries. Not good. Turn to 1 Peter 5 now. And I want you to look to verse 7. Amplified Classic. Because here's what we're to do. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries,
all your concerns once and for all on Him. For He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Psalm 55, 22, Amplified Classic. Cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it, as burdens are heavy. And He will sustain you. He will never allow the consistently, there's that word, consistently righteous to be moved, made to slip, fall, or fail. So we are to cast our cares, all our anxieties, and all our worries upon Him once and for all. It's so simple. When we first got saved, we did that. And then we decided, you know what? I don't know. But then when I say that too is, you know, we don't want to be careless and carefree. Mm-mm. Especially with what we do. But when I say the cares, I'm talking about cares like, will we find the right job? Will we have enough money to meet our household budget? I hope you all got a budget, because it'd really help you out if not. Sometimes you wonder where it goes. You just make a budget. And also, will we have enough to eat? Will we have enough to eat? Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Okay, that's in the red. Who's speaking, Nick? You got it, brother. Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 25 and 26, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them, and aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Amen. I think so. I think so. Whatever it is that we have concerns about, give them to Him. He will guide you through each and every one of them. Oh, you think He wants to just take care of them for you? Well, then that means you don't have to do nothing. That means you'll get lazy. Well, no. He'll take you. He'll guide you through them. You know, guide you through them through the Word. Through the Word. He'll guide you through the Holy Spirit that is in you. And He'll guide you each and every step of the way. In the simpler times of our Christian walk, we would give Him our concerns. We'd give Him all those worries too. And like I said, but now, we seem to have a better way. We always seem to have a better way. You know what Jesus said in John 15:5? Without me, you can't do nothing. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Look it up. See if it's in the red. Without me, you can't do nothing. Think about that. Maybe that's why sometimes we get in so much trouble with the things we do. Because we do them without Him. Take Him along in everything you do. Amen. When you go to work, when you're sitting in a break room, take Him with you. Yes, when you're in a grocery store, take Him with you. When you're at Walmart, take Him with you. Yep. Take Him with you. Amen. You find out the things that you can do. But you know, we have something else that always seems to get in the way.
Am I right, Brother Dean? It's called pride. Man, that pride that gets up in there. Yeah, pride. Look what I can do. You can't do nothing. Come on, admit it. I've been there. Everything I thought I could do always ended up wrong. You know, it may have seemed right, but it never accomplished what it should have or what it could have. But when he's involved, it's always right. So I want to get back to making sure that we don't get prideful. Because pride goes before a fall. So I tell you, stay humble before the Lord. When you first got saved, that's the way we were. Those simpler times. Why do we keep making it hard? He hasn't changed. Luke 10:19. You can turn there. Luke 10:19. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you authority. Who, Nick, is giving us authority? That's right. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. This verse is powerful. And this is another one of those verses that when I was a young Christian, I grabbed a hold of. Man, I grabbed a hold of that one. And that's what you need to do. Grab a hold of these scriptures. Just like we used to do. Don't let go of them. Exercise the authority you have in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Be very specific. Remember when you used to do that on a daily basis? But now we wait. And almost sometimes we wait too long. We need to grab it real quick, real fast. So trample. And don't say, who me? I say, yes, you. Yes, you. You are a believer, are you not? Okay, then look to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Verses 17 and 18. My goodness, seems like every one of these I get is in a red. Wonder who that is keep speaking to us tonight. You ready? And these signs will follow those who believe. Talking about us. Because you are a believer. Amen? In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents right by the neck. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. What did we just do as believers? What's going to happen? And when did it happen? Oh, probably about 25 minutes ago now. Right? That's when it happened. He recovered then. Not he's going to. He did then. That's when it happened. Because that's when he received. That's when he received. Right then and there. Take the name of Jesus. Start trampling. Trample on those serpents and those scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Yeah. You, the believer, start trampling. Isaiah 54:17. Isaiah 54:17.
Another familiar one for all of us. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the saints of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You know who that is speaking to you, don't you? That's right, that's the Lord speaking. And in the Message Bible, it says, no weapon that can hurt you has ever been forged. Any accuser who takes you to court will be dismissed as a liar. This is what God's servants can expect. I'll see to it that everything works out for the best. Wow. It will work out for your best. That's what the Lord said. No weapon formed against you. We need to get back to saying that every morning. We need to start saying, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that tries to rise up against me in judgment, God shall condemn. A little bit different there, huh, when you think about that. You make it personal. And start using the authority. Start using the authority you have. We used to use it. We used to be invincible. Man, we used to run through walls. Come on, when I was a young believer in the Lord, that's what I used to do. Man, nothing stopped me. If something stopped me, it was Pastor saying, slow down. Slow down. At first he would let me run, then he had to rein me in a little. You know, and he taught me well. Taught me well. You don't think I'm here by accident, do you? I don't believe I'm here by accident. I believe the Lord placed it on his heart and groomed me for this. Would I have ever expected this? No. Did I do anything to deserve it? No. Was I faithful to God and was I faithful to my pastor? Yes. That's why I'm here. We need to get back to those simpler times. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Verse 14, we're going to start at. We're going to get on through verse 25. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately, when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to greet him and greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Before they could answer, then one in the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth and gnashes his teeth, and he becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, he is the Spirit here, folks. When he saw him, immediately the Spirit convulsed him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. Jesus calmly looks and says to his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now, I inserted verse 23 from the Message Bible here. Jesus said, if? There are no ifs among believers. Anything can happen. Now, does that change what? Now, I'll go back. New King James. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Message Bible sure changes it a little bit, doesn't it? Yeah, just a little bit. A little bit more clarity when Jesus was speaking about the ifs there. There are no ifs among believers. Verse 24, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Verse 24, he said, Lord, I believe. Just believe is all Jesus asked the father of the boy. Just believe. And he says, I believe. The father believed, and Jesus rebuked the demon from the young boy. And you read, finish reading the story, you'll see where it tells you that he actually laid on the ground. They thought he was dead. And Jesus had to reach his hand down and say, come on up, son. Show him you're okay. And he walked over and said, hey, Daddy, can we go home? I've had enough for a day. I'll bet he did. And if I'd have been that father, I'd have been on my knees thanking Jesus. Thanking Jesus. And that's what we used to do. We used to thank Jesus right away. Some of the things that happen for us, we just take for granted. We don't thank him. We just take it for granted. See, that's why I think a lot of us are missing it. We're not giving the glory to who he is. Because when you have something wrong, we take, you know, there's two definitions for the word magnify. One is when you magnify something, you take a microscope or something, and you enlarge it, you make it bigger than what it is. And the other one is, and that's what we do, that's what we do with a situation, the problem, the health, the heal, whatever it is. We magnify it. But no, what we should be doing is taking the other description, definition of the word magnify, which means give glory to God. If we magnify Jesus, we don't have to worry about the other because it'll just go like this. Just like the gas bubble that used to be in my eye when I had the retina surgery. Yeah, I had to have a surgery. I've had quite a few surgeries. But God took me through each and every one of them. I learned a lot through those surgeries. I learned something through them. And that's why I want to continue to teach on the directions I'm teaching, because I believe God has been revealing things to me through the Holy Spirit. And I never saw as clearly as I did before. Not saying that I wasn't taught well. I'm just saying there are certain things that I didn't let in to the Spirit. I let them into the head. They didn't do me no good getting into my head. They needed to get into my heart. And that was nobody else's fault but mine. Nobody's but mine. I take responsibility for that. But now that I'm learning, and I'm learning from them, because God will reveal when you truly want to know and start asking and seek diligently seeking him, you'll start to get a revelation of the scriptures and a lot different than you ever did before in your life. When we were young Christians, we believed for everything, not having any doubt that Jesus wouldn't deliver. Am I right? Nowadays, we question, did he hear me?
He's not doing it fast enough. He's not, you know. What are we getting in the way for? We gave it to him? Praise him. Praise him. We extol you, Lord. You got to exalt him above everything else. That's what he wants from you. My wife told me a cute story, but I'll let her share that one with you. It was about a healing, how she got through something. I'll just let her tell you that one. Yep, that. And because she's going to get ready. Part two, brother. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment, especially when spoken in faith. Mark 10:27. But Jesus looked at them and said, "Oh, Nick, that's Jesus again. With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." Wow. When we were young Christians, we didn't even question that. We didn't question it back in the simpler times. Matthew chapter 21. Verse 21. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree." You know what was done to the fig tree? It was spoken to. It was spoken to by Jesus. You can speak to a fig tree, and you speak to it in the name of Jesus and tell it to wither up. It will wither up. He's trying to tell you that. It was the Word in power and in demonstration there. That's what you can do to those situations that you're facing. But also, if you say to this mountain, he even takes it another step further, "Be removed and be cast into the sea," it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Remember praying and believing and not doubting? Remember having childlike faith? The simpler times. We approached it childlike because we were children then. Guess what? We're still children of the Most High God. That's right. You're a king's kid. 1 Peter 2:24. It says, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed." Why was it so easy to get healing early on? I have a lot of testimonies for myself when I was young like that and the things that happened to me. Maybe because we just believed it. We just believed it, and we doubted not that it wouldn't happen and take place. See, we were focused not on what, but on him. Yeah. Early on, our focus was totally on him. Amen. Him. We got to get back to realizing that. It's about him. By his wounds, you were healed. Period.
End of subject. No further discussion needed. By His stripes, you were healed. But you don't know how I'm feeling. True. You don't know how I'm feeling at times either. See, it's up to each and every individual to deal with it. It comes down to your faith. And when you are seeking healing, you want to be around people who are going to support you, who are going to pray for you, and who are going to help you build your faith. Because believe me, pain speaks big time. So we need to help have some support when we're going through pain. And what better way is to have a believer praying, and then when you ask for something, you just give an encouraging word. Don't try to teach them. Just give them the word. Give them a word. A word in season does many and mighty things. Amen? Okay. God is still in the healing business, though, isn't He? He's still doing miracles today. He hasn't changed. He's still the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Getting a healing was so much easier back in those simpler times. James chapter 1, verse 17. James chapter 1, verse 17. The ERV, easy read version. Everything good comes from God. Every perfect gift is from Him. These good gifts come down from the Father who made all the lights in the sky. But God never changes like the shadows from those lights. He is always the same. Whatever is good comes from God, who never changes. Whatever is not good comes from Satan. Plain and simple. So is sickness, pain, and suffering a good thing? I don't think so. So we know where it comes from. But we know who has power over it. You. You. Each and every one of you. You do. And how? In the name of Jesus. That's how. In the name of Jesus. Jesus. He is Jehovah Rapha. He's the God that heals. And if He has healed others and you're looking at them, He's not a respecter of persons. What He did for them, He will do for you. Acts 10:34. In the Amplified Classic says, God shows no partiality and is no respecter of persons. You do believe that, don't you? Okay, just checking. Philippians 4:19. The Living Bible. I didn't say the NLT. I said the Living Bible. And it is He who will supply all your needs from His riches in glory because of what Christ Jesus has done for us. A promise that still stands and is true today for those who are in Christ. Malachi chapter 3. Where are we going? Oh, we're going to go there and you'll see. Malachi chapter 3. We're going to go to verse 10. Verse 10. New King James. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will. Who will? God. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. When I first learned about tithing, it was so easy. And for a lot of others it was. But then they started looking around. They started looking at what other people had. They were looking at, look at the toys they have. Look at those things. Wow. And then what? They became jealous. And they became envious. And guess what happens? They start to back off their tithing. So they're not giving to God anymore. It was his anyway. He just asked you to be a good steward of it and to give him back his tenth. You know, he's given us the ability to attain the wealth that we have. He's given us jobs that we have. He's given us the health to work those jobs. The one who tries to steal them away from you is the devil. You go in there in the name of Jesus, representing Jesus, and you will just move right on up. And I'm not bragging, but I know what he did for me in my career, in the mills. I went to positions that I should have never held. All because of him. And I realized that. During those early years, see, I realized that. It was him. Satan tries to deceive us by giving us those kind of examples of how unsaved people and sinners are prospering around us. Throws up in front of you. You know how that person is, yet you're looking at them, but you don't know if they're happy or not, do you? You don't know how much misery they are. You don't know what it took for them to get those toys. You don't know how far in debt they are. And debt brings about all kinds of worry and stress, and it plays on one's physical body. So when you're looking at them, don't be envious. Just thank God for what you have. And then what? He'll just give you even more. Especially if you've learned what it is to be a giver. Because you can never outgive God. See, Satan has just helped us to lose a blessing from God when we back off on our tithing. Tithing with the right attitude, coupled with prayer, opens the windows of heaven. It is that simple. It's that simple. Don't let the windows of heaven go closed on you. That's all I want to say. Because I know how simple it was. And when we get back to realizing how simple it was. Because I'm going to tell you, there's been at times when those things hit me. And I would say, wow. Nope. I'd say, but that's how I handle it. Oh, well. And still went and wrote my tithe check out. Boy, I could sure use that. I could sure want to do this. And I went ahead. But I never was out looking because I and having to find another job or anything other. Everything that I met, everything that I needed was always there. The finances were always there for me. Always there. Because I learned what tithing was. And so I still approach tithing that simple. I pray over it. I write it. I can't wait for my opportunity to come here and put it in. Literally, I'm that excited. When we say offering time, Denny's back there and he starts dancing. Am I right? You get to watch him back there sometimes. He'll call for that time and he does a little jig because he knows how important it is. And it's a time of rejoicing, time to be joyful. You want to give with a joyful heart. Okay, moving on. Okay, Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verses 41 and on down through the whole story here, but I'm going to jump around it. But 41 through 42, Amplified Classic. Like I told you, I was Amplified when I first got saved. I'm going to get back to being Amplified. Hallelujah. Okay, verse 41. And there came a man named Jairus, who had for a long time been a director of the synagogue. And falling at the feet of Jesus, he begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. And Jesus went. The people pressed together around him, almost suffocating him. Now, a woman in need of a healing in her body that she had for 12 years stopped him in his tracks when she just literally touched him. And she was instantly healed. This delayed him from proceeding on because he had to address what had just taken place. You know, and when I was reading that, something jumped out at me there. And I thought it was interesting. So I said, the little girl, that little girl, she was 12 years old. The woman with the issue of blood. How many years? 12 years. Okay. The number 12 is a master number, a number of God, and the one that carries a divine message. The number 12 is one of faith and purpose, a number to inspire you to take action. What does faith do? It takes action. The number 12 also represents the presence of angels around you. Number 12 is said to mean positively, faithfulness, optimism, and growth. Wow. When you reflect on the number 12 now, when you read that story, sure changes the way you look at that story, doesn't it? Points to faith. Points to faith here. Verse 49. While he was still speaking, a man from the house of the director of the synagogue came and said to Jairus, "Your daughter is dead. Do not weary and trouble the teacher any further." But Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, "Do not be seized with alarm or struck with fear. Simply believe in me as able to do this, and she shall be made well." And we know the end of the story. Jesus went to the house, grabbed her by the hand, and said, "Get up, little girl." And she got up, little girl. And he says, "Get this girl something to eat. She's hungry." By simply believing the word and acting upon the word brings great joy, brings peace, and it brings happiness. Don't make it hard. Keep it simple. Just simply believe. Simply believe in him as able to do what you have asked him to do. Simply believe. Because it's all about him and his amazing abilities. It's nothing to do with you. It's all about him. We need to get back to magnifying him. Amen. Remember, it's a simpler time. The simpler time. And speaking of simpler time, I think it's time for us to stop. I think there's a lot of us are past our bedtime about now. Amen.